If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listener mail. This is Robert Lamb.
And this is Joe McCormick, and we're bringing you some of the messages you've sent in over the past couple of weeks. Rob, if you don't mind, I'm going to kick off with a response to the furry fish episode.
Oh, go for it.
Yeah, so this comes from Yanni, and this is one of those emails where it's clearly responding to something specific that we said, and I don't remember what it was. Which makes for some of the most fun listener mail, because you have to play a little sort of internal past memory detective work. Mm-hmm. But Yanni says, "Hi, Robert and Joe, or is it Joel?" No, it is Joe. I'm Yanni, and I'm sending you my greetings from Finland. Love your podcast. I was just listening to the Fish Head Fur episode, and I had to check. There really is a Christmas edition of Big Mouth Billy Bass. There are also videos of it on YouTube. Peace, Linux, and love, Yanni. So I assume you must be a developer of some kind if you have that much Linux passion. So I looked this up. You're correct, Yanni. I think in the episode we were talking about what were the different songs that Big Mouth Billy Bass sings. So there was Take Me to the River. There's the one that sings YMCA. I think I may have mentioned that the one that sings YMCA, I remember, is in a Sopranos episode. It's like a Christmas episode. I think Tony gets it as a Christmas gift. So maybe that's what leads to this. But there are indeed Big Mouth Billy Basses that sing Christmas songs, and they're not just Christmas songs. They're like novelty hayseed country versions of Christmas songs. So it's got a dash in through the snow kind of thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so it particularly egregiously annoying. And I don't know why they did it that way. Why not with just some regular recording of the song? Beats me.
Well, if there's anything that could make Jingle Bells more annoying, it's having Big Mouth Billy Bass sing it, I imagine. And I say that as someone who greatly enjoys many holiday songs. Well, Jingle Bells is just the worst.
Rob, I am right there with you. I don't hate Christmas music. I love a great many Christmas songs, but there are a few that are just, they're just razor blades going under my eyelids. It's just awful.
Yeah, I'm partial to God Bless You, Merry Gentlemen, because it has the devil in it. which I guess, you know, brings us back in season here, because we don't want to get too far ahead with the holiday stuff, because this listener mail is coming out during the height of the Halloween season.
You know, one of the Christmas carols that I really like, I think I tend towards the ones that are in more of a minor key and have kind of a note of uncertainty. And that'll tie into our very next message. For example, one that came to mind is, you know, I love Greensleeves. It starts with that minor third.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Greensleeves is great.
Or I guess the Christmas version with the lyrics is What Child Is This? Or
What Child Is
It? Yeah. What Child Is This? Yeah, that's it. But that should lead right into some responses to the episode that I did on spooky music and uncanny melodies with special guest, our producer, Seth.
All right, I'll read this one from Matt. I really enjoyed the episode on scary music and the characteristics thereof. The major and minor discussion was particularly interesting in that I thought immediately of Celtic Gaelic music. Hmm. I play a lot of old Irish and Scottish tunes with my brother and friends, and have always loved the interplay between minor and major keys in reels, jigs, etc. The quick switches are both fun to accompany and make things more musically interesting. Always thought it was a unique example of both minors and majors inspiring good feelings rather than apprehension, as is usually the case with the former. Huge Black Sabbath fan, I must admit. Also get the same sorts of impressions from a lot of Middle Eastern music, which is pretty cool. It's one of the reasons I gravitated to such genres early in my amateur music career. Thanks for the show and happy Canadian Thanksgiving, Matt.
Wait, is Canadian Thanksgiving in October?
Yes, it is. It is the second Monday in October. So, yeah, here we are.
Matt, I think I know what you're talking about with the alternations between major and minor keys in like the... what do you call them? Oh, well, by the way, that Scotch and Irish music really also does have like some of the best names for things, reels and jigs. That almost doesn't sound like music. It sounds like stuff you'd use to like kill a fish.
To kill a fish.
Maybe I just got Billy Bass on the mind. Okay, so this next message comes from Dan, also about the music episode. Dan says, I just finished listening to your episode on scary music and have an album recommendation for Rusty Needles Record Club. This is Seth's new podcast, and Seth and I talked about me possibly going on there to talk about Neil Young. Dan says, when we get into discussing the stranger records in Neil Young's discography, and what Dan recommends is his album Trans from 1982. It is his Kraftwerk-inspired album and features a lot of vocoder and synthesizer work, so maybe Robert could also contribute, being as how he loves synth music. Are either of you familiar with this record? Computer Age, that's the name of the song, is a total bop. According to Young, part of the inspiration behind this album was as a way for him to communicate with his young son, who has cerebral palsy and was unable to speak. Apparently, this was lost on Geffen Records and the start of their infamous lawsuit against Neil Young for not making Neil Young albums. And then there's an abrupt transition. Also, being this is a Stuff to Blow Your Mind listener email, I have a suggestion for the role of Tom Bombadil. I would like to nominate Danny DeVito. Is he the right choice? Maybe not. It's been a long time since I read Fellowship of the Ring, but the thought of Frank Reynolds in a Lord of the Rings adaptation is such a perversely amusing thought, I cannot resist imagining how that would play out. It's always sunny in Middle-earth. The gang steal the One Ring. Thanks as always, Dan.
Well, first of all, sometimes I kind of speed read these emails as they come in. And so I thought Dan's recommendation was ultimately that Neil Young play Tom Bombadil. And so I've been thinking about that all morning. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I could imagine that, you know. I often associate Neil Young, of course, with the harvest season. That's the time of year when I'm most likely to fire up some of old Neil and listen to him. I don't know what to think about Danny DeVito. I haven't had time to process that. I'm still on Neil Young as Bombadil.
I mean, we know Neil Young can sing. Other than that, I don't know if his vibe is really on. I mean, Neil, I as I said on the music episode, I'm a big fan of Neil Young, but he always comes off as kind of a weird old crank and not sort of the jolly carefree bard image we get of Tom Bombadil. But I don't know.
Yeah. Also, I mean, Neil Young is someone who has always been he's always been willing to tackle political issues in his lyrics. And Bombadil is you know, largely cut off from the politics of the world. So yeah, it seems like they're completely opposite each other in that regard.
But Bombadil is constitutionally incapable of engaging in politics. Like, right. he's not even on the same plane as them.
Yeah.
But also your mention of the Neil Young album. If you're not familiar, this album, Trans by Neil Young, that came out in 1982, it is the classic example of the Neil album that even a lot of diehard Neil fans make fun of and think, oh, okay, that's bad. And, you know, when I was a younger Neil fan, I felt the same way. I mean, it does have some arguably very goofy production choices, but I've come around on it over the years. I think it is absolutely worth a second listen. And I really like the song that Dan singles out here, Computer Age. That's a good one.
The one that sticks with me the most is Sample and Hold. That one has a mm-hmm. good beat to it, and it very much has the synth vibe and the robot voice. To probably to the surprise of no one, I've always loved this album. I heard this. This is one where my dad had some Neil Young, and I don't think he had the album Trans, but he had another album that, weirdly enough, had two of the songs off of this plus some other material. I forget what it was called. It was weird in that regard, because it's just, here's some robot songs and here's some more traditional stuff. And I always liked the robot songs. But yeah, I probably heard those tracks way before I actually heard any Kraftwerk. So it was kind of an early introduction to that world.
That's a wonderful kind of inside out. You know, there's a moment in the song Computer Age where, like a lot of the songs on this album, it's hard to tell what the lyrics are. But there's one part early on where it sounds like Neil is singing the phrase, "I stand for the signal." And I think that might literally be about a crosswalk on the street, like the line right before it is about cars or something. But it's mm-hmm. one of those great lyrics that you hear with a weirder secondary meaning that may not be intended. But either way, it gives me a shiver. I stand for the signal. It's like in Tron, like I fight for the users.
Yeah. I could see that connection.
Oh, and also, yeah, critics be damned, I like the electronic take on Mr. Soul. I think some of the song concepts on this album might be much better received now with a just slightly different production approach. I think Computer Age could have a slightly more goth techno edge. I'm thinking about production more like bands like The Knife or I don't know if you call that a band, whatever you call that. And it might be considered a classic.
Sibling duo.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. And one last thing that I thought is hilarious is that you can sometimes still hear Neil's Canadian accent through the vocoder. There's this song on there. It's one of the goofier ones. It's called Computer Cowboy. It has like horse hoof clip-clop sounds. But he's singing vocoder and you can still hear it's Neil Young.
Oh, wow. I don't remember that track in particular. I guess it's been a little while since I fired it up. I mainly remember, and I guess when I dip back into it, I tend to play Sample and Hold, Computer Age, maybe one other.
Transformer Man got a beautiful...
Transformer Man is good. That's the other one, yes.
Yeah, that one got a beautiful low-tech rendition on Neil's 1990s Unplugged album.
Oh, did it? Okay. I don't know if I've heard that.
Well, anyway, that was an extremely strange digression, but...
it's an interesting album, and of course now with digital and streaming, I mean, it's widely available. Everyone can go out and have a taste of this album.
So, I mean, I don't want to oversell it. Again, I could not deny that a lot of the production is undeniably pretty goofy, but I still think there's some cool stuff in there.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Rob, you want to do this one about Hilda and the Lindworm?
All right, this next one comes to us from Greg. Greg writes, I subject my 4.5-year-old to, quote, daddy's boring podcast on our regular commutes. I don't know. I guess I'm cool with that, knowing the kind of things kids are into. Maybe our podcast is a little bit boring to the younger listeners, but that's okay. Either, you know, perhaps they'll age into it. Anyway, Greg continues, his opinion of your podcast may be changing as he was ecstatic to hear Hilda and the Lindworm referenced in the latest Artifacts segment. At this point, this would be an Artifacts / Monstrafacts segment from a couple of weeks back. He continues, like Robert's son, he was familiar with the Lindworm from our repeated viewings of Hilda. We got to discussing how he thinks you could improve the podcast. His suggestions are, number one, more Hilda content. Number two, space sound effects.
Okay.
In fact, Seth, can we go ahead and have a little space sound effect just to help out the listenership? Okay. And train sound effects for the episodes about trains. Hold on, Seth. No train sound effects yet because we need to line up a train episode. But I would be into that, doing something related to trains or subways. I live next to a train track and I'm fascinated by trains.
I love trains, and I think we may well have even a creepy train related episode coming up this month.
That's right, we do. Okay. All right.
Well, it's a possibility. No promises, but a strong possibility.
Okay. That one will probably not be good for kids though. but yeah, we'll have to do some train content in the future. Anyway, Greg continues. Hilda, for the uninitiated, is a children's Netflix program that is based on the graphic novel series by Luke Pearson. It frequently features mythological creatures from around the world in stories with animation that appears to be influenced in small part by Calvin and Hobbes. You have my full support in doing a lengthier deep dive into the mythological creatures as referenced in Hilda. It might make for a fun twist on your anthology shows, but please, no train sound effects, Greg.
What is this conflicting advice? I don't know what to do with that.
Well, I don't think there are any trains in Hilda. I don't remember there being one. But anyway, Hilda is indeed a fabulous show.
I haven't seen it.
It's a kid's show, but it's one of these great kid shows that you don't need to be watching it with a kid to enjoy it. It's adorable and cute, but not in a sickening way. It's very sweet, and it has all of these various mythological creatures pop up. You'll be delighted to know that the Yule Lads pop up in one episode.
Oh, spoon licker and what, goat clod sucker or something?
Yeah, I forget what names they're given, but I believe Andy Serkis is in that one playing the voice of one of the Yule children, so it's pretty great.
That's too good. Sausage Swiper, I think, is one.
Yeah, something like that.
Meat Hook.
I highly recommend Hilda. It's a wonderful show. Just absolutely wonderful.
All right, I guess we're going to look at a couple of messages regarding Weird House Cinema. This first one comes from Matt. Matt says, "Good day, fellas. The episode on The Thing from Another World was pretty neat. I'm definitely going to try to give it a watch. Couldn't help but immediately consider some plot parallels with H.P. Lovecraft's At the Mountains of Madness. Both set in an Arctic waste, both with some variation on a vegetable-based or partially vegetable-based species from beyond, and to a degree, the marauding mindlessness of the Shoggoth seems to fit the uncaring approach of the movie monster. I can only assume some inspiration was taken from Ole Howard. To reference what I think is, in this context, an ironic quote from the story, quote, 'Poor old ones, scientists to the last, what had they done that we would not have done in their place? Being scientists themselves, I think the old ones would have very much enjoyed your shows. Thanks again, and all the best, Matt.'"
Wow, that's nice, Matt. I don't think the old ones would have liked our show very much.
No, but I don't think so at all.
I don't know. They might not have even been able to listen to it. I don't know.
It would just be incomprehensible squealing to them, and then they would devour us, right? Eat our souls.
And they would have their own podcast, which to our ears would be incomprehensible squealing and the piping of mad flutes and so forth. I think I've seen somebody somewhere make some connections between the Thing, at least Carpenter's The Thing, and Lovecraft's At the Mountains of Madness. But for the life of me, I can't remember what those connections were, other than the obvious. You know, they have a frosty setting, some sort of amorphous being.
Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro was going to do an At the Mountains of Madness adaptation. That was like his pet project, but it was. If I remember correctly, like it was going to cost a lot of money, and it was one of these films that was only going to get made if Tom Cruise was on board, and Tom Cruise was apparently on board, but they still couldn't get it made for some reason. So it just didn't happen.
Tom Cruise, what?
Well, I mean, it makes sense, right? If you're going to have a monster movie, just that's so expensive, like you've got to have somebody like Cruise in it, or you know, you've got to have a total, sure shot A-lister at the helm, and then you can have all the monsters you want.
I'd go with The Rock, you know.
The Rock, yeah. I mean, that would seem to be a strong choice. You know, if you get The Rock on there, then who's going to mess with you? They'll let you have all the monsters you want. But I'm probably oversimplifying things. I know The Rock has been attached to projects that have yet to come to fruition. So who knows how Hollywood works?
Or by connection, how about Vin Diesel? There you go. Vin Diesel at the Mountains of Madness.
As long as it doesn't, it wouldn't endanger our next Riddick movie, would it?
It can't. It can't possibly. Okay, we got one more Bombadil contribution. At some point, I think we must just have to stop reading these, because otherwise they will just keep coming in forever. But this one was too good to skip over. I thought this was truly inspired choice. Rob, do you want to read this, or should I?
Oh, yeah, I'll get it. This is from Nick. Subject line, Bombadil. Quote, "Is this bit still going? I thought I'd add my suggestion before a halt is called to all Bombadil dreamcasting. When I visualize Tom Bombadil, I can picture no other than Kevin Murphy. For many years, the voice of Tom Servo on Mystery Science Theater 3000. You might also remember him from the Roman Times interstitial sketches, where he played a foghorn-voiced Miles Glorious type." What? I'm not sure what he's referring to. Oh, no, this was the Roman Times on Mystery Science Theater 3000. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Miles Gloriosus.
Miles Gloriosus. There you go. Miles Gloriosus type. Okay. "He had all the qualities of Tolkien's merry fellow, an orotund and booming voice, a jovial demeanor, a hefty frame, and a twinkle in his eye, as well as a penchant for constantly breaking out into song in response to nothing in particular. really, he's the most Bombadilly person I know.
This is perfect. I feel like this can't be beat. As soon as I saw this, I was like, oh my God, it's right. Kevin Murphy is Tom Bombadil. He's got he hits every single note.
Yeah, yeah. I think he does. Plus, I've seen episodes of MST where he breaks into a Tom Bombadil impersonation, like he's singing Tom Bombadillo and all that. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, that might be
I don't remember that.
Jack Frost. That might be in the Jack Frost strip that he does that a bit.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was perfect for this role. If Jackson wasn't going to cast him, then it's just as well that we didn't get it, you know?
Hey, doll, Mary doll, I cannot disagree.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and close the hatch on this particular listener mail, but we'll be back next Monday. So keep them coming. In the meantime, what else goes on during the week? Well, we have our Tuesday and Thursday core episodes. We have Artifact, or for the at least the rest of the month of October, Monster Fact. But who knows? Maybe Monster Fact will return in December, and we'll do some Christmas creatures. We have Weird House Cinema on Fridays. That's our chance to talk about a weird movie of choice. And then on the weekends, we run a Vault episode, which is a rerun from the previous year.
Huge thanks, as always, to our wonderful audio producer, Seth Nicholas Johnson. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.